We start a new series today that's 8 weeks long. We could have done 30 weeks, and I say that accurately because we're going to do a series which is called It's All About You and Me. I mean, isn't that the whole of posture of a lot of life? Oh, you know, it's all about me, but it's all about you, but it's all about me, and it's all about you and me. It's all about you and me, and yet the scriptures are full of all of that, and we're going to go through a series of these commands, directives given to God's people that we are to do towards one another. They're the one another's that we find in the New Testament, and there's 30 of them. Over 30 of them in the New Testament, the Lord instructs us to do these things for one another, to one another. There's a whole big one anothering deal. As we're getting ready for all that, I'll share some in a moment. I want to bring a couple of things to your attention that are driven by a whole one another deal. You see, there is a Barna report recently, the big survey done, and it said this: the church in the United States has an image problem. They surveyed all these people and they concluded it has an image problem because the perception of people and how they perceive the church is not what the church wants to perceive itself as. So it has an image problem. And you say, let me ask this question. What is the church known for? It's real simple. We should be known for vertical and horizontal. That's it. We should be known for a love for God, vertical, and a love for one another, horizontal. That is it. That's the great commandment. So when people have a perception of the church, do they answer, oh yeah, that's this gathering, this people, this movement, this directive, this change agent in the world, and they are known for being vertically directed and horizontally driven because they love God and love others, and that's it. Is that the image that people have of the church?
No.
There's an image problem. And we get to reverse that curse. If we apply actually what God says, hey, this is how I want you to live. And if you live this way, if you do these things and you behave this way, it is going to change the world. Because people are going to want to have that. And they're going to want to know, how is it possible you can live like that? There must be some secret ingredient. It's not a secret. We've been singing about it all morning. The resurrection power, the in-breathing, empowering Holy Spirit breathing through us all can be transformative. So this one anothering deal. Tomorrow there's a public holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Not every state has it. Arizona does. The whole cause and call of all of that that we should remember and celebrate is one another. In Christ, there is no longer male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. In Christ, there is no division. There is a unity in diversity, and it's God's creation. And there is something that drives and drove Martin Luther King Jr. There is a one another. This is how we are to be. Break down the barriers. It's a good thing. In addition to that, every week at the 11 o'clock gathering, as I am preaching or Mark's preaching, at this same time, somebody is miraculously doing their best to translate it live into Spanish. And they're doing it right now while I'm speaking. So thank you for translating it into Spanish. That means this: when you want another, people you come into contact with whose first language is Spanish, and they'll be better instructed by me in Spanish than in English, we can say, we're here for you. We should be removing every obstacle that people have that enables them now. They can now hear the word of God. So that's why we do this for one another. And I tell you, and some of you are like, I don't need that. No, I know you don't, but you may meet somebody who needs that. Who knows somebody who knows somebody, and that's what we do. And we will do it for those not here yet. We will remove that barrier. What I cannot supply for you is a translation from English English to American English. That's what I cannot do. That's just the Holy Spirit gift of interpretation you need. But in spite of all of that, are you ready? Over 30 times, one another. Here's the interaction today, right now. I'm going to say a word, and you're going to say, altogether one another after each one. Okay, you'll say it a few times until I think you've got it. So, for example, I would say the word love, and you go, yeah, pathetic, but that's what you kind of do. Yeah, you'd, and you'll keep saying it. So I'll say the word, and you go one another. Sometimes there's two words, and you'll go one another. All right? You ready? Good. I'm looking. Some of you just need a bit of a wake up. Here we go. Serve. Accept. Strengthen. Help. Care for. Forgive. Ooh. Submit to. Commit to. You're going a bit down. It's not very encouraging because the next one is encourage. That's better. Be devoted to. Be patient with. Be interested in. Confess to. Live in harmony with. Do not pass judgment on. Ooh. Do not slander. Greet. With a holy kiss. Four times it says that. High schoolers got very excited for a moment. It's a biblical command, you know? There's a context to all of that. I'm just saying four times. Tells us how to greet one another. This is a holy kiss. Some of you guys are like, what is that technique? I should learn that one. If anything this morning, you've seen that Grace Community Church, we're not some production performance. We're just a bunch of people, yeah? So what, the sound has a bit of a glitch. And? You didn't pay a ticket. Anyway, moving on. I could go on, there's more, we haven't got time. You get it. It's all about you and me. It's all about... Okay, here we go. Today's is encourage one another. I'm going to go to three scriptures that have that exact command, they encourage one another. Three separate scriptures that just lean us forward into all of this. And then we're going to dive in and we're going to do this. And this really is the posture of the whole series. Why would God need to tell us to do all these things? Because we weren't. Because they make a difference. Because they are important. He wants us to be reminded of all of this. You see, it's not enough to understand the gospel message that Jesus came and died and is risen for me and all of that. It's like, it's not just about you. It's not just about you. Now, will you live that resurrection power out? So first one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. You're not familiar with the Bible and you've got a real printed version. You go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then there's this, you know, Acts, then Romans, and then all the eons come together. So if you go past the eons section, you've gone too far. And all the T ones are all together as well, which is really helpful. Okay? So you've got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then you get 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Timothy's kind of right after it. So if you find Timothy, take a left. It's not too big. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing. You see, this Thessalonian church, they were doing a lot of good stuff. And Paul's saying, hey, keep it going. So they were good at this, but he was saying, don't forget it. Encourage and build up. And you build up by encouraging. So here we go. The English word encourage is originally from a French word, which literally spelled the same way, encourage. Encourage. Put in courage. When we encourage, we put something into somebody else. Expanded. We don't just put in courage, we put in confidence and support. We help, that's encouragement. We put in hope to other people, that's encouragement. We strengthen, that's encouragement. And then the literal parakaleo in the Greek word for encourage really goes into a bit more depth and means this. It almost means that when I encourage, I revive someone. Literal translation, I fan into flame. So now's the time of year and our freezing bitter Phoenix winter. That we still feel the chill of the 50-something degrees. So we put a log on our fireplace. And we get those, you know, those four-hour logs, because we're so incompetent about lighting a fire. And we light this four-hour log. And I don't know about you, but what happens with my four-hour logs is after a couple of hours or so, the flames die down, and it's just a glowing log, but there's no flame, and I need a bit of flame. So what do I need to do to get the flame back? I do the counterintuitive thing. See, if I have a candle with a flame and I blow on it, it goes out. But with this log that within it has this fire capacity still, but the flames have disappeared, I blow into it, I breathe into it, I fan it into flame. And I get down on my hands and knees and I start, and you wait. It's weird, isn't it? You go, boom, you know, wow, I'm a fire starter. And it's like, whoa, it's awesome. But what I'm doing there is such a beautiful image of encouragement. I'm breathing into something to revive it. When you encourage, that's what you do. There are people who, through discouragement, are down, and you get to encourage them, and it's there, but you revive and you remind. I'm going to ask you all a really personal question. And it's really hard for you to verbally, to physically answer, but I'm going to ask you to. For some of you right now who are going through a time, maybe today or yesterday or right now, where you are battling with some discouragement, I just want you to raise your hand. Discouragement. If you've just raised your hand, keep it raised. Everybody, look around. Look around. Thanks, guys. It's brave to do that. It surely is the command of Christ that all of you who arrived here discouraged can leave here today with an element of somebody somehow, some way, at least breathing into you to help with that discouragement, or even fan back into flame that you can go, do you know what? Okay. I'm not saying your problems disappear. But what if everybody here who's a follower of Jesus had a posture that when they walked in, is my role here is to encourage? We'll get into it. So this is what's amazing. This Isaiah 41:10 theme through the year of being fearless, do not be afraid for I am with you, do not be dismayed for I am your God. He then says, I will strengthen you and help you. What did we list on the one another's? To strengthen one another, help one another. So we live this side of the empty tomb. Jesus is risen, living and breathing in us all. So the fulfillment of Isaiah 41:10, 700 years before Jesus, which says, God says, I will strengthen and help you. What's his method of doing that? One another. So when you encourage, you get to literally be the breath of God. With your words and your actions. So when we say, oh Lord, the Lord promises I'm going to strengthen you and help you, for the most part, that will be fed to you from a pipeline of one another. Now you can just sit in your room if you want and say, Lord, just me and you direct. Just strengthen me and help me. And he's good and gracious and can do that, but there's so much more. There's so much more. So encourage one another and build each other up. Let me lean into this. Encouragement is not just comfort. Encouragement is not just a praising word to somebody else. It's richer than that. You see, encouragement has a range. It goes from a range of comfort and strengthening and helping. But what does strengthening and helping look like? Encouragement can be confronting. If it's done with a posture of to build up. So it's encouragement if we see somebody who is in living a certain way that is destroying them. I want them not to go down that path. I want to encourage them more. So I have to confront that and say, hey, this is not a good choice you're making. It's bad. Let me encourage you out of that. Let me build you up into something else. So don't think that encouragement is I just come on here and we have a nice positive mental attitude and, oh, I like your shirt. Nothing wrong with that, but what I'm saying is you get to change the trajectory of someone's life by encouraging. It's so big. And those of you who today are discouraged, I'm going to hopefully provide a way where we can help be part of one another, where we get to change the trajectory of our lives today, because God promised us something good. The thing about the confronting is this: if it's going to tear the person down, that's not encouragement. It's to build up. It's to build up. Oh yeah, but sometimes you've got to tear someone down to build them up again. Kind of, but be careful with that. Sometimes your posture is, I want to tear them down in the guise of encouragement. Now, what is your heart behind this? So the heart behind it, our encouragement, it is speaking words. It is speaking words. It is maybe writing down words and passing that on. It is generosity. That's encouraging and giving. We'll talk about Barnabas in a while. It is providing support and help and strength to someone who is feeling a burden of something right now. It is doing something so radical, which is not. So finish this off for me. In the scriptures, it says there is some attribute of God that leads us to repentance. What is it of God that leads us to repentance? Shout it out if you know it. The kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Do you think we need to listen to that? There is a kindness that can lead somebody forward. We can provide confrontation and correction, but can lead. But there's a kindness involved. So when we speak with words that are not loaded with kindness, there is a problem in how we receive it. Hebrews 3:13, next one. The next two are both in Hebrews. Just keep taking a right. You'll find Hebrews. If you see James, take a left. Okay, here we go. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So therefore, encouragement provides a protection from being hardened. But more than that, it says encourage one another daily. I mean, way to go in setting a high bar. Daily. What is he saying? There is something here. Form a daily habit of encouraging. So the phrase we saw in Thessalonians is build up, has got this word construction. We construct something, we build something, and encouragement is a building block to people. It can build strength. And it says, hey, what about building daily on that? That's going to build up, wow, encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. Here's the oxymoron we have in the English language, constructive criticism. We have to be honest here, all too often, I want to provide you with some constructive criticism. It's more criticism than construction. What about I want to provide you with some encouragement? And just that word, to be critical can be corrective, but there is something there that I want us to break here, and that is this. We need to break the habit of criticism and build the habit of encouragement. You see, encouragement is going to bring about change in somebody because it's the very breath of who God is, where criticism by nature tears down. I'm not saying about it's not correction. There is correction. Get me right on this. But all too often, our language is criticizing. And we'll say, well, they just need to know. So I was being constructively critical. Yeah, with no kindness. It was tearing down. It wasn't done with all the other one another's, and it becomes damaging. And the enemy looks at the church and goes, I don't have to get involved. You're doing a good job yourself by the way you are not one anothering people biblically. So for all of us, and this is a big deal, am I living in a habit of criticism? Am I living in a habit of complaining and whining? And am I building a habit of encouragement? And I'm asking myself that question. Because criticism and whining is naturally so easy. And it's very self-inflating. It isn't really thinking about you. It's more thinking about me. So correction can be encouragement, but here's the posture. Because I so love you, because I care so much, because I can see how this can be so awesome for other people not here yet, I'm going to fill in the blank. There's a different posture there. Because I desire you to become like this, I need to say this to you. I'm like, I get it. I get it. And sometimes someone could come with a statement and say, hey, Des, when's the last time you did this? And you go, oh, yeah. But the posture is, because I desire to be like this, I think you should do that again. Oh, yeah? It can help. That encouragement thing is so big, so incredible. And the scriptures are saying we need to do it daily. Now, let me just talk to you a little tiny bit about Barnabas. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Now, Barnabas, in the early church, that wasn't his real name. Barnabas was a nickname. He was given that name as a result, I believe, because of his behavior. They called him what he was doing. I mean, I don't know if you had a nickname. People have nicknames. Sometimes they're not too good a nickname. But often they're related to some attribute about the person. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But Barnabas wasn't his real name. We see in the scripture here what his real name is. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Joseph, that was his real name. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. They're like, now, why would we need to see that? This is a little tiny glimpse, a little grace note that's put in. There's this guy called Joseph from Cyprus comes in. He clearly, there is something about his demeanor and posture that they go, we're not calling you Joseph, you're Barnabas. It's like, here he is again. Here's a son of encouragement. Here he is. And we see one of his actions amongst many, and that is this guy is so encouraging. He thinks, yeah, I've got this field, and that's probably a big deal. It was a big deal. There's a whole family line that can be beneficial from that field. And he just says, you know what? It's nothing compared to the kingdom of God. I'm selling it, and I'm bringing it, and he say, hey, apostles, I sold a field. There you go. And they go, it must have been, whoa. That's all I'm saying. It's a technical term, whoa. And there he is. It's not, just not a coincidence, really, that you've got this whole son of encouragement name and his generosity for others. He just lives it out. What if the image that people saw of the church got a name change? What if we were not perceived as the list of things that I don't have to tell you what we're perceived as being? What if there was a name change of who we are? So now one more. And after this one, I'm going to get lean in with real practical specifics this morning. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Verse 24 is another one another, but that's another week. Just so you know, verse 25. And just by me saying that, you'll probably read verse 24 because you can't resist. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. I find this kind of in a weird way comforting scripture. Even then, when the kingdom of God was forcefully advancing with the early church and penetrating the whole Middle East and the Mediterranean basin and it's exploding like crazy, even then, God's people needed to be reminded, hey guys, some of you, you're getting a little selfish. Some of you are like, you've got the Jesus thing and it's all good, and you show up to be with one another when you feel like it, when it's convenient. Yeah, but I've got what I need, so I'm okay. It's no big deal. And it's like, so I don't have to be with the people. I can just go online and we'll be fine. Now, the online thing's a great gift. It wasn't then, you know what I'm saying? Because if you physically cannot, there's a connection. But I read this beautiful article a couple of weeks ago. A young woman who was fully engaged in the church, has a baby, and circumstances meant that she couldn't attend on a Sunday for 4 months. And various different things did that, and some of it, she confesses, was her own ease. And then she came back, and then she wrote this blog about what she missed. She didn't realize what she missed, and she wrote some of the things that she missed that she could never replace except for being with, together, the family of God. And some of them are just obvious and striking. But you know, one of them she picked up, she said, I couldn't live in obedience to Jesus because I could not one another. There was no one to one another. And yeah, I may have had my friends, or I may have had my life group, and that was still okay, but there was no live out in a broader community sense, the spontaneity and the beauty of sitting near someone and just being an encouragement. There was no way of knowing that we saw quite a few hundred people with hands up of discouragement this morning. Because she was impotent to do anything about that. Because she wasn't in that time and space. And so throughout history, we have a tendency to be, it's all about me. And I'm with that. I'm not agree with it, but we have it's okay, I don't need to, blah, blah, blah. It's not attending here out of duty. It's being together because there is something unique and dynamic and called upon when we meet together. And it's so rich and so amazing. All we need to do is say, Lord, here I am. I'm here, so here we go. They encourage one another. It leans in. Stop doing that. Meet together more. And when you're there, encourage one another. It doesn't even say, hey, this meeting together gig, you need to get together because the teaching's awesome. And you're missing it. It doesn't say that. Hey, when you meet together, oh, wow, you're missing out on whatever it may be. It says encourage. I can only do that in close proximity. I have to connect. Encouragement only takes place when I connect, and it's got everything to do with close proximity. It says the word, let us not give up meeting together. We miss that. Together, not just meeting. So that means this, and I went in hard at 8:30 on this morning. And if you know people who came here, I did something pretty radical, and they were awesome. I don't need to do it here because it wouldn't work, the practical illustration. So I'm like, what was it? I'm not telling you. So what you've got is this, is that the word together, you can come here, maybe you've come here today and you're all by yourself now. You're sat in this room and you leave. You arrive and you leave in the same posture and you're all by yourself. Even in a room with hundreds and hundreds of people in it right now, even physically right now, there are people sat by themselves. Some of you are like, I'm sat by myself, what are you going to make me do? I'm going to make you do nothing. But in a moment, I'm going to call upon some other people to look for you and go sit with you. I don't want anybody to sit with me. I came here all by myself. Sorry, Bible says it's not about you. It's about we. There is something about that close proximity. Okay, I'll let you know, at 8:30, there's less hundreds of people in here, but still a few hundred, and they're scattered all over the room. So I basically closed down the two side sections and made them sit together. And I'm going to do that every week. I made them, whoa, 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 don't you criticize them. But you know what happened was? I got so much people applauding. They just needed someone to say it's okay and encourage one another. So here we go. I can be in the same vicinity as somebody and still not encourage. For many of us, we come here on a Sunday and we leave without a single word of encouragement or being encouraged. I don't think it's meant to be that way. And then we say, but it's all about Jesus. And what would Jesus require of you? He's making it pretty clear. Encourage. I need, so here's the deal. I want you to learn the uncomfortable art form of arriving on a Sunday with this mindset. Lord, what if I was to, with my words or actions, breathe into somebody today that revives them? What if we had a posture of, even though I feel discouraged, something in me needs to pour out when I think I have nothing left to pour out? The scriptures say, he who refreshes others, he himself will be refreshed. Could it be this weird kingdom deal again that says, when I empty myself am filled? But if it's all about me, I'm going to stay at the same measure I have right now. But if it's all about you, it ends up you and me. It's powerful. Do you realize today there'll be so many people discouraged? We get to do something about that. When we gather, it's so much more. I'm going to protect this from ever being some production-oriented show. I delighted this morning in what took place. It was amazing. Did you see? Do you see even the servant-hearted nature of our technical guys? They're like, okay, we can do this. And it's like, all right, they didn't just figure it out. They come down and we'll make this work and we'll get up there. And why did Mark get up? Because he was just like, oh, let's all feel awkward. Just family and community, isn't that what you do? Or do we all just sit down when your house is on fire and go, oh, that's a shame? We do something. It's, I love it. I love it. So here's the thing. Because you are here today, you are here to be encouraged. And because you are here today, you are here to be an encouragement. I don't know what that looks like. Listen, don't overthink it. It's a word, it's a hand, it's anything. Maybe some of you came today straight from a class. And somebody just arrived straight here and they go, what do you mean a class? What even is that? Is this a hey, do you go to a class? Do you connect with anybody? Are you part of a group? Do you serve anywhere? You just get to be a little pipeline that brings this encouragement of togetherness. You just get to do that. It's not hard. Hey, I didn't know you. Who are you? Pleased to meet you. I don't know. Have you got lunch plans? No? Oh, can you pay for mine then? No, whatever it is. But just anything like that. But it's not difficult. I cannot tell you the amount of life change that happens because somebody else didn't remember the preacher. Somebody else just was the church. It's not difficult, and we have an image problem that we can radically transform. It's so exciting. I'm going to say this. There's a number of people here that I know really well, and I'm going to be honest with you, not to make you feel guilty, but I genuinely miss you when you're not here. Because you're so nice to me, and I need it. Like, dang it, they weren't here today. I miss that little bit of encouragement she always gives me. No. I can talk about her because she's not here right now. She's in the 8:30. There isn't a week that she's here that she doesn't go by. There's never a significant moment in the year where she doesn't send me a card or a note. Her name is Lillian Murdoch, and those who know Lillian know Lillian. If you don't know Lillian, you need to know Lillian. And the best place to know Lillian is she's always at the prayer meeting and she's the ultimate prayer warrior. Just in spite of everything to do with her world, she never fails to really encourage. So when she's not here, I'm like, oh no, my day is incomplete because there's no Lillian. You know, I'm like, do you want to be a Lillian? Do you want to be a Barnabas? Do you want to be? I'm like, yes, I'm looking at myself in this and going, come on now, snap out of it. Come on now. So let me just go on a little bit of a vision cast right now and say a few things to a few people, and then we get to bring encouragement for all of our brothers and sisters who feel discouraged. I'm not going to preach it and not do it. And that is this. When we come into this house on Sundays, how awesome would it be that you have connected or you invite someone and say, hey, why don't you come for the restoration of your soul? Why don't you come for encouragement and a deep refreshment? I'm not saying your problems will all be solved, but I am saying I want to introduce you and maybe somehow incredibly you could encounter Jesus and his people. And what if when you came, you'll encounter him because he's the one who lived and died for you and is risen. And that said same resurrection power can nourish your bones like nothing else can. Nothing else can. Not only is it about salvation and forgiveness and restoration and justification, it's about life in all its fullness. And when we come, we get to do that. And as a result, when you encounter this house, you will encounter a people who are all about restoring hope and dignity. They're all about celebration. Listen, I love it when you guys spontaneously clap. I love it when you shout out hallelujahs and amens and encouragement. When we're singing and you applaud afterwards, we should be all about that. It's life-changing. We are all about diversity and difference. We want to be a place when people walk in and go, this kind of looks like Tempe. Not a little weird bunch of white folk. Moving up. So then you go on to say this. It's all about a people where all generations are in this house. So here's the deal. If you are under 20, raise your hand. If you are 20 to 30, raise your hand. 30 to 40. Still with you, just. 40 to 50. 50 to 60. 60 to 70. 70 to 80. 80 plus. There you go. Every decade... Every decade's here. Every decade is here. We're all here. That's weird. Do you get this? This is what we are all about. Everyone is therefore welcome. We're a people who will lay down our lives for one another, and even though it feels like we've nothing left to give, there is something supernatural about pouring myself out that I myself get filled, because that's the image of Jesus. He poured himself out, made himself nothing, humbled himself to death in obedience, even death on a cross. But he didn't stay there. We are a people full of a heartbeat that says we are here to equip and encourage one another. It should be a place full of fun and laughter, and people enjoying life together and getting alongside those who are sowing right now in tears. Let us pour ourselves out for one another. So here's the deal. This was placed on my heart on Friday in preparation. I knew what I had to say to 8:30 and do, and I know what I need to say to some of you here today. I wrote it out, just got a piece of card. This is a little piece of card I cut out. This is one of Lillian's. And this is like, cut it out from the card she gave me, and this is what she wants me to know for the year, and I'm keeping that. And so I put it on the back of this. For all of you who are feeling discouraged, I'm going to ask you to do something very brave right now. We're in this house of the Lord, and when you are feeling discouraged, you should experience a brother and sisterly love. We may not have the answers to your discouragement, but we are here for you. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Isaiah 41:10. He said, hey, do not be afraid, I'm with you. How do we know he's with us? His people are all around you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. These people who get alongside you are brothers and sisters in Christ. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with a righteous right hand. So those of us who are feeling encouraged can now encourage those discouraged with the fulfillment of that scripture. Are you kidding me? So all of you who are feeling discouraged, your bravery right now is this. You need to be a blessing by allowing somebody else to bless you. So all the discouraged people, I want you to come down the front, please. Now. Yeah, but you don't know. I've not got the energy. I know. Those of you who saw someone's hand up before, you may need to encourage them to come down the front. Come down. Just come down the front. Come down the front, all you who are feeling discouraged. Spread out. There's quite a lot of people. Come down the front, all those who are feeling discouraged. The fearlessness for me is that I am done with playing church. And so All those who are feeling discouraged, come down. It's awesome. Done this once before. Now, all of you feeling discouraged, you do a really brave thing. You turn around and you look at your people. Then all of you who right now feel it and you've seen somebody, I want you to look at someone. Maybe you'll see them afterwards and encourage them. But for some of you right now, you know, you just have to get out of your seat and come and put your arm on that person's shoulder. So they encourage us. Come and be an encouragement to some discouraged people. Come on down. And it's okay, and if some people are here and if no one with them, I am. And I've got this. But come on down and be with. Let's stop doing that. Musicians, you can come back up. You can come back up. We're going to sing a song that's, we know it, and I will build my life. I mean, what are we building our life upon? I need to, this is a word of the Lord to some of you who are discouraged today, and that's why I had to write it down. This is a word of the Lord that he needs you to hear today. And so when we hear it's going, and if people, I want to encourage you and I can't get to them, just reach out a hand, it's okay, and continue afterwards. We are not confined to encouragement to this time together. You can do it all week. So all you discouraged people, I believe for some of you this is significant. The Lord needs to remind you of this. You're a child that I sent my one and only son to die for. You are not your past. You are not what you did. You are not what others have done to you. You are an ambassador for Christ. Whether you feel it or not, you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do incredible supernatural good things, which he has prepared in advance for you to do. He is not finished with you. You are a child of the living God. So hear it again. You are not your past. You are not what you did. You are not that mistake you made. And you are not what others have done to you. Lord Jesus, my brothers and sisters here today have arrived with discouragement. Holy Spirit, right now, fill them. May they let go and receive afresh your grace and your mercy and your joy and your encouragement. But may they hear that from your family. Lord, may Grace Community Church grow in such a way that the city knows us for our encouraging. May we be a people who are known for what we are for, not what we are against. May we be a people who will put you on display. Your grace. May this church live grace, not just be called grace. So we take on that charge, Lord. We worship this song to you, declaring that we're going to build our life on you. Because you are holy, and there is no one like you. Open up our hearts and our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep encouraging. We'll be here next week. Let's worship together. Awesome. Don't forget your children. We've gone over a little bit of time. Encourage them.